This was October the 29th, 1995. And we're gathered for a business meeting. Greetings, Commander.
May we clear our space, please? Anybody who watched In Touch with Angels or something about angels last night understand exactly what I'm saying. If you want to get rid of Satan in your midst, you command that he leave in the name of God. In a very large crowd, when I try that, I don't have any audience left. So it's a little better at home here. Dorma had petitioned for just a minute of the time. I choose not to let her have it. I come in the light of Holy God. I have to remind you of that. It makes no difference, actually, from where you get truth. Truth will stand on its own. I had a beautiful letter from Utah. I hope that this gentleman takes the tapes. Maybe we can figure a way to take time to write. I said to everyone, make a little extra soup or stew or something that you can eat cold or warm through these next few days. You can know that you're pretty safe through today because the glancing below from the pea-sized, I don't know what they're calling it, space debris that flecked off the window and knocked out two of the shuttle systems. Let's just say that the satellite still is not repaired. Now they're having to turn upside down. Get this. They're not due to land until a week from today or tomorrow. And guess what? They turned on their backside today so that they could warm their landing tires. Now, I josh you not. That's on your news. Well, as long as they're upside down trying to fix that satellite and get it dislodged so that they can pull something, you're sort of halfway safe. But don't count on it, because they still plan under all circumstances to try their very best to full blast wide open the Gwen and Harp system on Tuesday. They're having a lot of trouble. About the time that they get something fixed in space, which isn't even high enough to be called space, something goes down in their system on the ground. So you have a lot more friends out there working overtime than you can possibly realize. On the other hand, around Yucca Valley, from the Landers quake, still, you know, you're getting earthquakes from the Landers quake of 2,500 years ago. These are little aftershocks. And then some 2,000 years ago, they had some over at Ridgecrest, so you're getting a lot more aftershocks from there, too, so that it looks like a pincushion if you look at the map. This is serious time. They're trying to shore up and make sure their underground caverns will withstand whatever is going to happen. It's a little more intense as you come along the water-bearing channel, because not going to do too much good to have ships under there all the way to China Lake if you can't have water that will hold in the tunnels. They need to make very sure that whatever ones are caught offshore can move inland with first warning. Now, you know that they are still testing. The French are still testing in the South Pacific. And they're going to continue that indefinitely, about once monthly. The interesting part about this is that you and England and Russia are all using the data. The data is in Los Alamos for calculations before it even goes to France. So they lie to you. All the time they lie to you. I don't want to get into it because that's not our subject for today. For those, however, that don't know me, and Kenny and Jill are amongst those, I am not some weirdo from outer space, little gray alien of some kind. I'm a very tall, basically Pleiadian in style, if you will. But I come with a host that are sent prior to the coming of what you would call your second coming or God. I don't know why he would want to bother, really. But nonetheless, that's our job. And back to the beautiful letter from Utah. The gentleman said, I just don't understand what exactly my family objects to, or else I don't know what host means. And God love him, he calls it hoist, H-O-I-S-T. So I don't know. We're here to hoist you off. That's what we're about. In each coming of alien species, or what you would call creator source, you see, you already on your place can duplicate, regenerate life. And your magazines and your scientific exposés will tell you that you really don't have the capability yet. You have the capability. And if you have the capability, know that anyone from alien nations, alien planets, have far more capability than you do, because you can't get past the moon. Even if you could, you wouldn't be allowed. Planet Earth is not a very nice place. It is one of the darkest inhabited planets. And when I say dark, in cosmos talk, that means you radiate so little energy of the positive variety as to make your planet dark. And that's being tended a little bit. I'll tell you when you're going to get bright is when they ignite that radiation belt. And then it's going to be bright, but you're not going to be in good shape unless you take some good care. I don't serve any alien forces. And I'm basically sent with what we call the hosts to make sure that all of our people get home safely and securely, and a remnant is brought through. Now, it gets a little harder as we get down to the brass knuckles. I told everyone when we first started years ago, and it's not that many years, is it, when you consider ones who have been in service for 40 years, 50 years, we would say that 7-8 years is really not very long. And recently, with the personal problems that we have had, another nice fax came at 5 o'clock in the morning from the mountain time region, and announced that Dorma and Hatton and Doris actually had lost or was losing all credibility, because we speak truth. And ones, especially ones who have perpetrated the errors in judgment, don't like to hear it. Well, when all property is brought back that you ones have paid for, to get our job done, then and only then will I relent. This is serious time. We have no crop. And that means that we don't have the funds readily available to go and buy this rather scarce grain from back east. But we have to do something, because now we have buyers for the product. And I think that we're moving along very, very well. Greg called this morning from out in the desert, and he said that he had located some roofing. I don't know very much about it, but that house is going to have to be roofed before winter, before the rains. And I am greatly, greatly appreciative that Kenny is sort of as a catch-all. But there are many, many things that need to be done. And I don't really appreciate being called evil. I didn't come here just to be your spiritual teacher so we could all sit cross-legged and enjoy one another and be. I told you from onset, in this place, it is a work detail. We'd have a lot of fun. You'd know more than anybody on the damn planet. But I never, ever told you it was just a place to come and commune. The last thing it is a commune of any kind, only second to not being a cult. We each have jobs. Wouldn't all of you have jobs if you were in Los Angeles? I would hope so. Maybe you wouldn't. Pretty soon, there may not be any jobs, or Los Angeles, for that matter. But it is a continual struggle for ones that want to come here and want to pretend this is some great, big, spiritual cult commune. And if you were truly of God, you would want everyone to know that. I don't care who knows that or does not know that. I have a job to do. You have a job to do. And I'm going to do it without exception, without compromise, within the laws and the right passage of God, our Creator. He's trying to get us lined up so that we come into the protection that can be afforded by both the Space Command and a conduit to craft if it gets too hot where you are. And it will. We have a plasmic bubble around this place. I'm going to repeat something. There is a crystal under this area that is almost 3 miles in unbroken diameter. It is cobalt blue. And in each crystal fragment is birthed a sunburst or splinters of gold, which makes it the most conductive crystal. And it's a navigation center. And this is where we have to work. There are other places. And I really weary of one saying, "Nanny, nanny, nanny, our crystal's bigger than yours." I don't care. That seems to be the new one over in New Mexico. "We have a bigger crystal than you've got in Tehachapi." Well, you've also got some bigger underground bases for Space Command over there. I personally hope we don't have to use them here, and I have a pretty good working relationship with them right over under Northrop. And I can get to the tunnel door less than 100 feet from Dorma's basement room. And they tunnel right under Ed Young's house. Can't get him to move. You know, he just sits and shakes all the time. But I suppose that's what he wants to do. Now, there may be some announcements that we need to make. Today is going to be devoted to Kathy O'Brien and Mark Phillips and some tapes. Before we do that, for confirmation for you ones, this is another thing that I get. Well, it can't be that bad. That's sensationalism. And we hear about Satanism and some other things, but we don't have any confirmation. I don't know where you've been, because I've written at least 5 volumes on Satanism, mind control in Russia, psychopolitics. mind control in America, brainwashing in the military, silent weapons for silent wars or something, secret wars. Now we have someone from Germany who actually is a physician who writes on the same subject, and I want to begin to present that to you. I just didn't have time to get to more writing on the subject, but I want that read to this group before we're introduced to Kathy and Mark, because I want you to know going in, the terminology is the same around the globe. The words may be different according to the language being used, but it is absolutely the same basic structure, and you will recognize those words. It's like giving you a lesson or many lessons in terminology for beginning to understand the cellular life structure of yourself that we've been working on. Then when you see those terms or hear those terms, it is no longer just something you slough aside like the Friday Night Fright Show. It's something you connect with. And even if you cannot remember exactly what the definition of the word was, you have a place now to go look it up if you're saving those. We cannot take the time to go in advance and put you out a dictionary. So you're going to have to save up your papers. And then when you read an article or you hear something on DNA structure, RNA structure, mitochondria, all of these things, they make sense to you. And when you realize how very small your world is, and that as these conspiratorial tactics are used against you, they are global. And the method of operation is the same. Now, I would really like, before we get started on that, though, to have a couple of reports. Gene Dixon's here, and we haven't heard from him for a while, and I think that Rick would enjoy telling you a little bit about trying to get some service done, paperwork to the Greens. And I think it's just a little bit of time here to visit and let friends become a little better acquainted with us. I began not to be that nice, mysterious voice. I began to be the one with the big hammer over everybody's head. So please bear with us while we grow. Rick first. Gene, somebody speak.
Here's Rick. Some of you may not be aware, approximately 2 weeks ago, I filed a lawsuit against George and Desiree and America West publishers and distributors personally at the U.S. District Court in Fresno. The corporations have been successfully served with the lawsuit, and in communicating with the Bozeman, Montana Sheriff's Department, they were able to talk to George on the phone last week, to which he responded, "No, I'm sorry, my wife Desiree is out of town for several weeks. Her father died last week, and she's in San Luis Obispo and will be gone." On Friday, I got a call from the sheriff's office, and George had just been successfully served with papers, and he told the deputy when he was served, "No, my wife Desiree is not around. Her mother died this week, and she'll be gone for several weeks." Pretty indicative of George's pattern of behavior, and it's always been difficult for George to keep from tangling himself in his own tangled web because he can't keep the story straight, and it's so hard when you're always lying to remember what in the soup you said, especially in George's case.
Thank you. I guess the most informative thing I've done for the last week is last week at this time, Sunday, I was with Dave Overton back in Texas, I left Friday, a week ago last Friday, and met with Brad Alley, our Nevada attorney in Austin, Texas. Someday I'll tell you about the miserable ride I had with him trying to drive a big Lincoln Town car after he was used to his little sports car. But we were able to purchase a birthday cake for Dave and candles and cards, and we were able to surprise Dave about 8 o'clock last Saturday night. And Dave was tremendously surprised. And we shared several really good hours with Dave at that time. And as we were talking with Dave, one of the caretakers, a Cuban person, 33 years of age, came into the room, and it turned out to be that was Dave's favorite caretaker. And there were a lot of persons there, but this happened to be Dave's favorite caretaker. And we found out that his birthday was following day, and because Dave had already received about 4 sweet items from the persons at the caretaker's place, Dave insisted that this gentleman inherit his birthday cake. So that was real nice. I spent the better part of the next 2 days with Dave, sometime by myself and sometimes with Brad. Dave is not in real good shape at the present time. He believes that he can be walking within the next 2 or 3 days. That's his big hope. And we all hope that, but we saw no signs of that whatsoever. He's very optimistic. He wants to tell everybody here hello. And I was able to tell him how we had shared his gift over the years and some of the things that we were able to accomplish was a direct result of his giving freely to the Institute of what he could spare. When I left Dave on Monday, it was very emotional. Dave gripped my hands, tears flowed very freely, and it was a very sorrow parting. I hope he recovers. He's fighting tremendous odds, and he does value your letters and cards. He refuses to accept the TV set in the room. He refuses to accept any type of entertainment in the room, no electronic gadgets whatsoever. So if you can drop him a card or a letter, I think he would greatly appreciate that, and there's always somebody there to read it. The lawsuits are going pretty much as planned. Brad is doing a good job in Nevada. We believe we have George Abbott on the ropes, and we intend to push him over the ropes. And that's the way my week goes. Thank you.
Dave is torn. Dave has been asking for permission for 6 months now to come home. And when I remind him that he agreed, and he wanted to experience some of the excitement of a few pick-ups and a few things like that, he said, you can come and get me yourself. I'm tired. His life has been electronics, and his love of wireless, etc., is dim now. He can't do what he wants to do. He doesn't want to come out here to live out any remaining days. He's suffering from widespread problems. And he wants to come home. And I said, when everything's in order, then we'll discuss it again. So he's at it again. Well, now they've been down here, are things in order? So Dave is asking permission to leave there and come home. And he's done his job. When the bodies become too elderly, too fragile, you can't reclaim those bodies. That's the nature of the journey. And when the body is in pain, is worn out, has no stamina left to do the things that you must do according to that brain that keeps nudging. And it says, I can't do the things I once could do. I'm useless now. I need to start again. It's a very logical petition. And it's one that's honored. He wants to come home. I think he would like to come to visit here a little bit, but I don't believe physically he's strong enough to enjoy it. And he still cherishes the sightings that he was shown when you ones were in Nevada. They meant a great deal to him, and that was enough. That was enough. So I would hope that things can work out so that you can release him. He's tired. As far as legal things are concerned, I don't see that you'll be free of these things in the visible future. I think that Gene has got to do something about the George Abbott situation. These are no coincidences and no accidents that you get sent down to the grand jury, etc., because there are many cases now that can and should come before both the Kern County Grand Jury and Nevada. And as you begin to turn the grand juries around, you're going to change the judicial system because the judges cannot continue to override them if you get informed jurors. That is more important than your common law courts, is to get your juries informed. And Rick's dived off into the middle of one of the most important ones, a man who was thrown off the Oklahoma City jury because he objected to the judge disallowing information and other things. He's writing about it, so I don't want to spoil it. But please carefully read these things. They plan to put that man in prison for contempt of court for the rest of his natural life just because he tried to do his job on the grand jury. Pretty soon, you won't have anybody, will you, to stand up for you in any of the courts of law. Once you denounce your jury system, as has happened with the O.J. Simpson trial, once you have said that you lied, you cheated, etc., to a jury that's locked up for 8 to 10 months, they're not going to serve again. So it's pretty sad.
Commander?
Yes.
Can you prevail on Rick for a minute? It's just a 1 minute. He had a very interesting thing happen to him yesterday.
You're not on the tape.
No. Yeah. We were trying to utilize a so-called interview with Media Bypass in conjunction with what Rick's doing with the grand jury articles this week, and we were reaching a roadblock until something very interesting happened between Friday afternoon and Saturday morning, and I don't want to spill the beans on the whole story, but it would be an interesting thing for the group to hear.
Are you going to have anything to say about earthquakes, etc.?
Nothing new.
Okay. We'll be here a long time if we don't move on.
I spoke to the editor of Media Bypass to ask permission to use an article which is in their November edition. And the article concerned cover-up by the Oklahoma City grand jury. And in there they talk about an exclusive interview with one of the grand jurors who spoke about various improprieties, such as not being able to ask questions of witnesses directly, having to submit questions in writing and then raise their hand, prosecutors denying access to witnesses. These are all very serious charges for a grand juror to make of a grand jury, because grand juries have free access to witnesses and are actually fairly informal in their procedures. Media Bypass, because it was a current edition of the magazine, denied us permission to reprint the article. However, the man I spoke to suggested that I could communicate directly with the grand juror himself. He gave me his name and the city he was located in. I called him and spoke to his wife, and yesterday morning was able to get through to him, and he was very cordial and very informed, and did grant an interview. So that will be appearing in next week's paper, and I think it's important as well. He's an honest, informed juror who is being swept aside for being assertive of his rights as a grand juror, and it remains to be seen what will happen, but the odds are the U.S. District Judge will slap him with contempt, and he probably will do time unless it hits the mainstream media a little further and there are enough eyes watching or enough protest to prevent it. But I would guess they'll try and silence him.
They'll try. It's going to get a little harder. I want all of you to know, all of you in the listening audience to know, even if I'm losing my credibility and Dorma's losing hers, Soltec and Cortan and Sonata are not. And if ones come and want to play for the wrong reasons, that's perfectly all right. That's fine. But we have great work to be done. I think Jean has experienced a few years now of seeing that it's never done. Even when you think it's done, it's never done. And there is no earthly way that only one or two human physical beings can accomplish what needs to be accomplished. And that's what's wrong with a lot of the energy forms that come to serve, come to speak, come to share. They are taken by the physical entities, and the first thing you know, as with Penny Torres in Mafu, she's wearing a Swami uniform. You know, while they gave Mafu the honorary title of Swami. Well, that's like giving me the honorary title of Swami, but Dorma has to run around in saffron-colored robes. It's silly. Absolutely silly. And to think that there are not other beings in this universe is even more silly. And to think that they're little insect beings with no brains, just big sucker mouths, is stupid. You do not come across the cosmos unless you're pretty damn bright. And you don't come to the darkest planet in the galaxies to upgrade your civilization. So heaven help the little creatures that crash on your place after they've been summoned, because their DNA is taken, their RNA is taken, and they're hybridized. And in your world, where satanic forces now rule, and I'm not talking necessarily about being Satan worshipers. I am talking simply about the mortal focus. When the only focus and acceptable existence is in the mortal physical form without any given thought to Creator Source and creation and the rights and the limitations and the laws given unto man by Creator, you're going to have chaos. And chaos comes from that evil force in conspiracy with others to rule you, control you. And obviously the way to control the masses is finally, ultimately, through mind control. I would like to say just a little bit. We're on Monday, I believe that we will have someone in New Gaia, someone new in New Gaia. And it's going to be a little bit confusing because Tammy left there, but another Tammy is coming in there. So be patient with her, please. And if you could keep the cash transactions down a little bit or catch Daylene in or something, until she gets settled in. Connie has picked up beautifully, but obviously you are growing, and the product is becoming so incredibly important that I don't even know how to lay that one on you. I do have a request. There were errors in the paper, and wherever it happened, it is totally unimportant. Don't sweat it and don't, oh, I did it or I didn't do it or whatever. The half-price sale was to go through October only because you don't want to supply your competitors. On the other hand, I think a way to handle that may well be to do a retraction, but all subscribers will be honored through November. We've got to do something to get more people subscribing to the paper, for one thing. And now you have hemorrhagic dengue fever coming up from Ecuador and points south. It is now in your country, and it is airborne. It is saliva, body fluid borne, sputum, coughing, and it is mosquito borne. You're moving into the winter months, so the mosquito problem outside the tropical areas will be in reduction. But it is as serious or more so than pneumonic plague. It is also a cross between the Ebola, short-lived virus that causes skin hemorrhages and so forth in South Africa. It is a mutation. You will present with fevers, tremendously painful headaches, terrible flu symptoms, and then the bleeding will start from the nose, the eyes, the mouth, and ultimately the pores. And you have no antibiotic to treat it. If you can catch it before those active symptoms start, some of the antibiotics in heavy, heavy dosages will slow it up or stop it or kill out the more virulent strain if you can get it in time. The silver is iffy if it is not brought up to the frequency of gold. Now, I am not knocking anybody's product. And in a Petri dish, the silver colloid itself will kill the virus in that dish. It cannot get through some of the cells into the body. That's why in the final stages of the electrolytic processing, our colloidal silver is finished off with gold electrodes. That brings the frequency of the entire product to at least the minimum level of gold. That is simply the electrical impulse, the frequency of the electrical ions. And for this reason, some of you will, in taking heavier dosages, and obviously if you're going to be sick, you're going to take enough to do something. But I'm having to ask that ours be a little better balanced because ours is so saturated. Well, it's oversaturated. And it doesn't require saturation. You only need one ion per molecule. We're getting them crammed full. That's really good if you're trying to treat something, but that, in the presence of gold frequency, will knock out your friendly bacteria. And if you're already having digestive problems, etc., that's not good. I mean, you're going to feel sluggish. If nothing else is wrong with you, you're going to feel sluggish from that. And everyone gets frightened, and so, well, if 10 drops are good, 25 or 400 ought to be really good. And you can't basically overdo it, except at that saturation, you're going to have metal particulate stacking up while it's waiting to be washed out of the kidneys and the liver. Because it is in colloidal solution, it will be washed out. But you wouldn't want that much metal of any kind in your little bodies. So let's use our heads with these products. But because they're being a little bit overused, and I'm not saying that 9 drops is enough in a day if you're sick. I would say use about as much as you think you can afford, and then you may balance that against what it would cost you to go to the doctor. Because these are serious, serious illnesses that are coming along. So maybe that could be worked out in some kind of a retraction. We don't want to ever misspeak on products and not honor what we offer. And you ones must take some responsibility here, because these diseases are going to get you. They just flat are going to get you. And I have watched few. Kathy heaved literally until her stomach muscles caused bruising. And yet still back to work in less than 48 hours. Is there any other thing that needs to be covered?
Commander?
Yes.
Does the colloidal solution settle out over time in the bottle if it's unused?
Only if it's oversaturated, so ours may. It should not.
Does it diminish in usefulness over
time? No. No, absolutely not.
What's the shelf life then?
Indefinite. Once it's into a colloidal solution through electrolysis, it'll stay. You'll find the oxysol will settle its particulate out, some of it. That's an entirely different type of processing, catalytic conversion through heat.